The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a level place. With a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to the rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. When I read through the gospel for today and got to the woes, I felt personally really uneasy. While I wouldn't say that I'm financially rich, I am certainly very comfortable. I have my fill of food. I laugh often, as many of you have witnessed. And for the most part, people speak well of me. When I met with fellow interns this week, I found that I was not the only one tussling with the woes in this passage. But as we talked, and as I began studying deeper into study resources, I realized that this reading, as really all of Scripture, it needs much more than a face value assessment. For those of us who are socially and economically comfortable, those of us whose lives where laughter abounds, do we believe that the whole world is comfortable? Or do we look out of our comfort to see that there are many who are financially destitute, hungry, weeping, or often all three? And in thinking about this, I was reminded of a recent article that I read. A Wharton School of Business professor asked her students just this year what the average American earns. 25% of her students, right? This is one of the most elite business schools in the USA. 25% of those students in her class honestly answered that they believed the average American, not the average family, the average American earns well over $100,000 a year. Those students could not imagine that there are many people out there who are not financially comfortable. Sadly, scripture passages like the one we heard in Luke today have been used to maintain and encourage the wealth gap between the rich and the poor. In fact, this was one of the issues that Luther railed against. The logic went like this: because the poor are blessed, they would have a place in heaven, since they have lived a life in earthly poverty. Therefore, they should stay poor. On the other side, the rich could give some money to the church, some to help the church, some to help the poor, and now the rich have secured their place in heaven by being generous. A win-win, right? Perfectly logical reasoning. Definitely convenient for those who benefited from being socially and financially well off. This is not quite the understanding of poverty, salvation, and scripture that Lutherans have. In this story, Jesus is sharing a version of a world that is upside down from what his listeners had been taught and how they expected the world to be ordered, and really an upside down world to what we have been taught. Many societies would say that those with political power and money are the ones who should be esteemed and valued, while those without power and money should be cast aside, or worse, degraded and reviled. This reading opposes that view. And Jesus went further than just describing this upside-downness. He lived it. The verses that we didn't hear that come between last week's reading and this week's reading in Luke describe how Jesus is already upsetting the status quo by touching and healing lepers, forgiving and healing the paralyzed, eating with people who were labeled sinners, and healing on the Sabbath. The verses preceding today's reading describe the physical manifestation of Jesus showing esteem and respect to those who were not considered respectful. And even before turning this worldview topsy-turvy with his words, Jesus is modeling for all who would pay attention what it means to see individuals in the way that God sees them. Jesus is using his words and his actions to portray a world that is shaped and designed by God, not by human desires and agendas. Further, the teachings given in Luke 6 are said to be given on a level place. Biblically, this level places denote disgrace and misery and even areas of corpses, but also places where God's glory and renewal would be revealed. So while standing in a level place, with all of that historical biblical memory, Jesus is sharing the vision of renewal and ushering in the realm of God. And maybe being on a level place doesn't seem like such a big deal, but I want you to think about where you are situated in society. Can you imagine being on a level plane with those who are highly, highly elevated in our society? What about being on the same plane as those who fall way down in the hierarchy of our society? What these words from Jesus is exposing is our unconscious bias. A worldview of how everything should be ordered, a worldview that has been decided by the world, not by God. In this lesson, Jesus is asking us first not to look down on others from our higher place on the level of hierarchy, but also not to look up in shame in those who are higher. Instead, we are being asked to bring everyone to the level plane, to lift up those who need lifting up, and to call out those who would maintain a status quo where those in lower status are marginalized, taken advantage of, and despised. In doing these things, we are helping to bring about the justice that is part of God's plan for creation. So now, I have a little exercise for you all. Take a minute and picture the healthiest tree you can imagine. How big is it? What do its limbs and leaves look like? Where does it live? What makes it healthy? In both Psalm 1 and Jeremiah, we are being compared to trees. It explains that we are like healthy trees bearing good fruit when we meditate on God's teachings, focusing on God and God's desire for justice. Not punishment-type justice, but the justice that exists when all people are esteemed and valued and recognized as children of God. As healthy trees, we will be able to weather the storms that cause other trees to fall. The fruit we bear will be the bringing of God's justice and righteousness to our world, seeing our fellow humans as God sees them, especially those whom this world would label as inconsequential. All of us on a level plane is the fruit we can bear. Be the tree that is tended by a loving God, nurtured by the Word of God in Christ, sustained by the breath of the Holy Spirit, and is a source for life in the world around it. Amen.